Abbedale was east of Schuster. Could a retinal implant operating in the infrared spectrum spot a chameleon suit? The options opening up were amazing. A fortnight after the Swithland left Group 7 at their new home on the Qualheim, the Void Hawk Niobe emerged above Lalonde. With the Edenists having a 5% stake in the LDC, a visit from Jovian bank officials was a regular occurrence. The visiting Void Hawks also brought supplies and fresh personnel to the station in orbit around Murora, the largest of the system's five gas giants. They were there to supervise Ithra, a Bitech habitat that had been germinated in 2602 as part of the Edenist contribution to developing the Lalonde system. Darcy requested the Niobe's captain perform a detailed scan of Schuster County as soon as the Void Hawk slipped into equatorial orbit. Niobe altered its orbital track to take it over Schuster at an altitude of 200 kilometers. The verdant, undulating quilt of jungle rolled past below the Void Hawk's sensor blisters, and it concentrated every spare neural cell on analyzing the images. Resolution was 10 centimeters, enough to distinguish individual humans. After 5 daylight passes, Niobe reported that there were no unauthorized human buildings within 100-kilometer radius of Schuster Town, and all humans observed within that area were listed in the immigrant file Laurie and Darcy had built up. Aboriginal animal density was within expected parameters, which suggested that even if a group had concealed themselves in caves or stealth-cloaked structures, they weren't hunting for food. It found no trace of the missing 17 people. After 6 months, Abbedale was looking more like a village and less like a lumberyard with each passing day. Group 7 had waded ashore that first day, armed with fusion saws from their gear and single-minded resolution. They had felled the mayope trees near the water, trimmed the trunks to form sturdy pillars, which they had driven deep into the shingly riverbed, then sliced out thick planks from the boughs to make a solid walkway. Fission blades made easy work of the timber, ripping through the compacted cellulose like laser through ice. They sawed like mechanoids and sweated the cuts into place and hammered away until an hour before the sun set. By then they had a jetty 3 meters wide that extended 25 meters out into the river with piles that could moor a half dozen paddle craft securely against the current. The next day they had formed the human chain to unload their cargo pods and cases as the paddle boats docked one by one. Willpower and camaraderie made light of the task, and when the paddle boats had set off back down the river the next day, they stood on the sloping bank and sang their hymn. Onward, Christian soldiers! Loud, proud voices carrying a long way down the twisting Qualheim. The clearing which formed over the next fortnight was a broad semicircle, stretching a kilometer along the waterfront with the jetty at its center. But unlike Schuster, Abbedale trimmed each tree as it came down, carrying the trunks and usable boughs to a neat stack, and flinging the smaller leftover branches into a firewood pile. They built a community hall first, a smaller wooden version of the transient's dormitory, with a wooden slat roof and woven palm walls a meter high. Everyone helped, and everyone learnt the more practical aspects of gussets and joists and tenons and rabbit grooves that a didactic carpentry course could never impart. Food came from frequent hunting trips into the jungle, where lasers and electromagnetic rifles would bring down a variety of game. Then there were wild cherry oak trees with their edible, nutty-tasting fruit, and acillus vines with small clusters of apple-analog fruit. The children would be sent on foraging expeditions each day, scouring the fringes of the clearing for the succulent globes. And there was also the river with its shoals of brown spines that tasted similar to trout, and bottom-clinging mouse crabs. It was a bland diet to start with, often supplemented with chocolate and freeze-dried stocks taken from the cargo pods, but they never fell anywhere near Schuster's iron regimen. They had to learn how to cook, for batches of 100, on open fires, mastering the technique of building clay ovens which didn't collapse, and binding up carcasses of sais and dandrill, a gazelle analogue, to be spit-roasted.